Hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today on this absolutely beautiful fall day that we're having here. The sky is that absolutely beautiful blue that you have in the fall. The leaves are starting to change. The temperatures are so pleasant. As I sit out here filming this afternoon, I hope the day is just as pretty on whatever day it is that you're watching this. And I hope that your day is just as beautiful in your circumstances, in your walk with the Lord, spiritually, financially, relationally, in every way as it is in terms of the weather today. But you know, the best part about this day is the fact that we get to come together and to meet with our Lord. And the wonderful truth is that God wants us to meet with Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. That's what salvation is all about. God reconciling us unto Himself, back into the eternal relationship for which He created us. And He gives us His Word, He has sent His Spirit, He gives us times and means like this for us to be able to meet together to hear from Him. And it's always a joy to be with you, but the best part is the fact that we get to be with our Lord and that He does want to speak. He wants to draw us close to Him. He wants us to know Him personally, to know His ways, His principles. And so as we come together, as we get started, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, O Lord, for this beautiful day that You have given. But thank You most of all, O God, for the opportunity to know You in it. Lord, to know You as the living God. Father, to know You, O Lord, as our wonderful Savior through Your Son. To know You as Father, to have that relationship with You. Father, thank You so much, and thank You that a God like You would want to know us, have us, speak to us, O God. And now, Lord, open our minds and our hearts. Help us, O God, to hear what You have to tell us today. Speak to us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, one of my favorite Bible verses, actually it's two verses together, favorite Bible passages, I guess I should say, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." The wonderful truth is the fact that we can wholeheartedly put our trust, our confidence, our dependence upon God in everything and about everything. And as we open God's Word to Psalm 11, we see that's how David lived his life. You think about what David wrote in the very first part of verse 1. "In the Lord I take refuge." You think about that. David said, "In the Lord I take refuge." David lived by faith and by trust in the Lord. And God invites us to do the same thing. But I realize as soon as I say that, someone may ask, and we probably ask within ourselves many times, but does that hold true in these days in which we live? You think of the condition of our world today, the wars that are taking place, certainly the war in the Ukraine, certainly the war even more so with Israel, and what may become of either one of those, how either one of them could spread, certainly the war in Israel to being a regional war, to even being a global war, to it escalating to the point, our becoming involved in it. We see a world that is very uncertain, unstable, and becoming ever more unstable by the hour. We see our own nation polarized, fragmenting on so many different levels, on so many different ways. Morally, socially, economically, we see a nation that is hopelessly in debt and yet continues to spend money and give money away. And we see it that's fragmenting politically. You know, when we used to think about that as terms of, you know, side A and then there's side B. But what we've seen in the past several days is that side A has two or three or four different factions. It's polarizing within itself. And side B has two or three or four different factions and they're polarizing. We see how the nation's, in fact, just completely fragmenting. And obviously, of course, a nation is made up of individuals, so we look around us and we see lives. We see homes. We see families disintegrating. We see society collapsing literally around us. You think of what's taking place, especially in our large urban areas in terms of crime and just the breakdown, what's taking place on the streets. If you want an example of a societal collapse, we're living in the midst of it. One that's in slow motion, to be sure. It's not like it's going to be, you know, happen in the next 5 minutes, but it is happening in front of our very eyes. And so in the midst of this, we come to this passage and we read what David said, "In the Lord I take refuge." We know God invites us to do that. In fact, God commands us to take refuge and put our confidence in Him. But we look around and we think, how on earth can we trust God in these days? Well, David was asked the very same question, still in verse 1, going on through verse 3. "How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You see what David is being asked. How can you trust God in the midst of all of this? Why can we trust God in times like these that we're living in? And yes, we look at this psalm, we see that David's reason for trusting God in his day, those are the very same reasons that we have for trusting God in ours. And as we look at this passage, we see that there are concrete reasons to trust the Lord. It's not just sweet or kind or a good thing to do. It's based on a solid foundation. As we look at this psalm, we continue reading, we find out, number one, God reigns. Look at the very first part of verse 4. "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." We can trust God because God rules and reigns. You think about what we read in the book of Isaiah. In my quiet time, I'm in the Old Testament. I read through Isaiah a few weeks ago, back when I was writing this particular devotion. Since have moved on into Jeremiah and Lamentations, but still very much in that prophetic mode. But you think about what we read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. Is it's asking the questions about our Lord. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" You think about that. 2/3 of the earth's surface is covered by water, and yet we have a God who's so great that He can hold it all in His hand and swish it around like a child playing with the water at the beach. Our God is that great. You think about, still in verse 12, "and marked out the heavens by the span." You think about the table or that you're sitting at or the chair that you're sitting in. It's easier for God to measure the heavens than it is for you and I to take a ruler or a tape measure and measure these chairs or that table, whatever it is that you're sitting at. "And calculated the dust of the earth by the measure." You think about how much dust there is on the earth. You think about the challenges keeping it out of the house. You think about all over the world, and yet God knows it all. "And weighed the mountains in a balance." Just try to just think about a particular mountain, how much it must weigh. And yet God can weigh all the mountains. What a great God. Look at verse 15. "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, He lifts up the islands like fine dust." You think of the mighty nations. And yet before God, their power, their control, it's like a drop in the bucket. You know, whether you're talking about nations of our day, whether it's our own, or we think about China and concerned about its growing, being a growing threat toward us and the size of its military, how many millions of men literally it can put in the field. You think about a nuclear powerhouse like Russia, and then we think about other nations that are coming to factor in possibly with the war with Israel. They're like a drop in the bucket before God. You think about the empires that took place during Isaiah's day. Of course, Babylon was the big dog that was, in fact, you know, overshadowing everybody, and that God would ultimately give Judah over to. Like a drop in the bucket before God. You think about what we see in verses 21 through 24. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. He merely blows on them, and they wither. The storm carries them away, like stubble. What a great God we have. Our God is sovereign. He rules. He reigns. We wonder, you know, why can we trust God in these days? Because God's sovereign. He rules. He reigns. Not only that, but we see number two, God sees. Look at the latter part of verse 4. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. God sees it all. Do you remember the vision that John had of our risen Lord in Revelation chapter 1? Gives that tremendous description of our Lord and His glory. And in verse 14, we see this. His head and His hair were white like, we'll talk about His eternal nature. And His eyes were like a flame of fire. Meaning He sees all the way through everything. He sees all the way down to the heart in everything. Nothing is in fact hidden from Him. He sees all the way down in every person, every setting, every situation, every circumstance. You think about that. And let's think about it from where we live today. About how hard, how difficult it is to truly know what's happening in our world today. Most of what we hear from almost every single source is mostly lies and propaganda. And you begin to try to do research to try to find out, quote, what's really going on, and what you find out is more propaganda from somewhere else, more most of the time. And a whole lot of money being made off supposedly revealing the truth is the way it usually works. But we are before a God who truly knows. We are before a God who sees it all. God sees what is happening. God knows why it is happening. God knows who is making it happen, both those individuals who are seen and the unseen individuals behind them and the powers that are behind them, ultimately even the spiritual powers that are behind the human powers, if you will. He knows why they're doing it. We can trust God because God sees. We look, we try to get an understanding, and certainly it's wise for us too, so that we're not just gullible and taken away with everything that comes along. But we can trust God because God truly sees it all. But not only that, not only does God rule, not only does God see, but number three, God acts. You think about this. You know, one of the false concepts of God is deism, this concept that, yeah, God is the creator, God set the world in motion, and then God's backed off just to watch it. And the classic illustrations of a watchmaker. He's made the watch, he winds it up, and he sets it down on the table, and he just watches it run. That, the scripture says completely the opposite. Our God, yes, he rules, as we said a moment ago, and he acts upon the authority that he has. You think about what we see in verse 5 through the very first part of verse 7. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness. God works, God moves, God acts. Here he works in such a way he judges the wicked and he delivers the righteous. You know, whether you study the scriptures, or whether you study history, the rise and fall of nations and empires, whether you watch people, not trying to be hard-hearted or judgmental, but just analyzing their life and what they did and what became of it, it's too obvious to miss. God's acting, God's working, God's moving. You know, again, in the Old Testament, my quiet time right now, and not long ago was in the book of Isaiah, shortly before I wrote this devotion. But remember in Isaiah, God is dealing with the nation of Judah. They're not listening, but God's dealing with them, and they're going to ignore him up until they are judged, as you read about in the book of Jeremiah. But God is repeatedly warning them, and he's told them that he's going to give them over to the Babylonians. But then you come to the 45th chapter, and you find an amazing thing. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I've taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. Now, again, you think about the context. This is 100 years before Cyrus is even born. No one even knows about Cyrus. Not even his mother knows about him. And before God gave Judah over to the Babylonians, he had already decreed that he would then give the Babylonians over the Persians, and Cyrus would be the king over the Persians, who would in fact give the edict to allow the Jews to go come back from the captivity that God sent them in under the Babylonians. You think about God's acting, God's moving, how God in fact works. Again, 100 years before Cyrus is even born, God names him by name, refers to him by name. Before God gave Judah over to the Babylonians, he had already decreed that the Babylonians would be subjugated and conquered by the Persians, and the king would be Cyrus, who had allowed the Jews to return to the Promised Land. Our God acts. He is always at work fulfilling his purpose. Even as we look upon the world today, even as we look upon the nation, even as we look upon our lives, God is at work. But then notice as well, God blesses. Look at the latter part of verse 7. Notice what it says there, going back to Psalms. The upright will behold his face. God is faithful unto his own. He blesses them. God's word continually speaks of his blessing upon those who put their faith, their trust, their confidence in him and cling to him. You think about what we see in Isaiah 55, verses 12 through 13. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Looking to the kingdom age, when our Lord is in fact returned, when he has established his kingdom, he in fact regathers Israel, he establishes them in the land that he's promised to them, and he pours out his blessing upon them then, and he gives them the security and the peace that they have not had for centuries because of their rebellion against him. But God will bless them, that remnant of Israel that will in fact turn to him. Another instance, another illustration, again, coming from my quiet time, the book of Jeremiah. You know, we often talk about Jeremiah preaching 40 years, not having a single convert. And yet we also find there is another individual who trusted God during that time. As we open God's Word, Jeremiah 39, think about what we read in verses 15 through 18. Didn't think about this until I was reviewing this for this devotion a moment ago. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was confined in the court of the guardhouse, saying, Go and speak to Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I'm about to bring my words on this city for disaster, not for prosperity, and they will take place before you on that day. God was giving Judah over to judgment because of their rebellion against him. But notice what he says to this man, this individual man. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you'll not be given in the hand of the men whom you dread. For I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword, but you'll have your own life as a booty, because you have trusted in me, declares the Lord. Why? This man had trusted the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. God blesses his own. We can trust him. God is, in fact, a father who looks after his children. We place our faith, our trust, and confidence in him. That's not to say we won't face adversity and difficulty, because remember, God's blessing is always defined by the eternal perspective. But God blesses his own, and we can trust him. Why trust God? Because he's worthy of our trust. Even in days such as David lived in, even as days such as we live in, he's worthy of our trust. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, that you are a God who's worthy of our trust. And, oh Lord, as we live in these times, may we look to you, may we cling to you, may we rely upon you, depend upon you, rest in you, for you are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope that you have a wonderful day. Hope that your mind, your heart, your eyes are fixed upon the Lord. He is worthy of your trust. He will guide. He will provide. He will carry. He will bless. Trust him. Walk with him. And I hope that you have a great day in him.